The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
He wants us to receive His mercy, that we may administer it to others. Come and receive His mercy. He's a merciful God. Come and receive His mercy.
To do, give us what that Lord our true. Oh, hold up our hand, show us what the promised land. You're the mighty God, but there's none like you. Oh, faithful and so true, Father, we love your word. Pour it down like rain, send us grace again. Oh, show us your mighty ways. Take away our fears. Oh, you're the Holy One, seated on the throne. Oh, we love to sing your songs in the mighty throngs. Blessed are you, God, Lord, the living words. They come down, Lord, like rain. Father, send us gain today. Have your way. Have your way. Ah, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Oh, Lord, be thankful, God. For the things you've done, Lord, in the past weeks, every time we see, Lord, you have shown your face, giving us more grace. Oh, we are grateful, Lord. Thank you for your word. Tell us what to do. Only things that are true can result in new songs. arms. Save us from the throng. Help us to do your will. Teach us, Father, to sit still. When, Lord, you raise your hand, your people defend. Oh, oh, to this thing, Lord, we say amen. 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 Lord, we send us game. We receive mercy, God. We receive counsel, O Lord God. We receive new eyes. We receive new ears. We receive new hearts, O God. We receive new mouths, O Lord God. Touch every part with your power and truth. Let the oil of your spirit rub, smear us and fully. Let your anointing walk grace in. Let there be healing of every aspect of our beings, O God, because you came for this very purpose, declaring good news to your children. We delight in you, O God. You told us what to do. At your feet, Lord, we all grew. Father, send down things that are fit just, Lord, for kings. Oh, give us what to say. Tell us what you think. Oh, you're the mighty God, the one who alone is Lord. Father, Lord, we love your face. Help us, Lord, keep pace in this, Lord, our race. Drive us with your grace. Oh, tell us what to do. Every single word that's true. Oh, we say amen, 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 amen. Lord, every single prayer that your people say, Lord, please take away the fears. Abba, please draw near. Take us by the hand. Show us the promised land. Righteousness, peace, and joy for every single girl and boy. Give us in our hearts, Father, heal on every part. Oh, tell us what to do. Only things that are true. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Father, we pray according to your will. It's according to your will. You promise you hear us. You promise you hear us. You promise you hear us. You draw near. You draw near. You draw near. Draw near to us, O Lord. Draw near to us, O Lord. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may have your seat. Welcome this morning to another opportunity to see, hear, and experience our God yet again. It's a privilege to have access to the Maker of heaven and earth. The greatest privilege. Sometimes individuals desire to meet some big person
or some famous person. You say things like, if only I could meet this person, if I had a chance to talk to this person, and so on. But the truth is that we have more than that. We have more than that. You have access to the one who made all those people you're thinking about. Some of those people are not even really nice people. Some of them are not that, many of them are not that special. I mean special, even like as special as your neighbor, that person you barely give attention. I'd be 10 times nicer than that fellow. That person you're admiring might be a nasty individual. But when you see them, you'd like to take a picture. You'd like to, you're wishing, you know, to take a selfie and say, hey, I met this person. You want to meet people, go to the airport. Go inside like this. And stand. You meet all kinds of people. That is not important. It's not important at all. You don't become anything more special because of who you've met. And I realize that that's one of the afflictions people have, that is not limited to age. You would think young people, but old people seem to even be worse. That's why they have all sorts of pictures of when they met someone. I know some of it, okay, you're a big man and there are these photographers taking pictures and they'll come and you pay for it. Okay. But if it doesn't matter, why do you place it at prominent places everywhere? When someone enters your office, they know, I've met this one, I've met this one, I've met this one. Why does it matter? So it seems to be one of the rare afflictions that follow people all their life. And they grow up and they are older and they're still excited about the people they've met. It's different if they stayed with the person for a while. It's different if they walked together. But when it was just a meeting, and there's all this struggle to stand by them. When I meet people, I never remember such things. Later on, I'm usually amused. I'm like, oh. It's only once I remember meeting a young preacher whom our people had been talking about. They were excited about listening to his music and all of that. And he came to visit me in the house. It was late at night, and as he was going, as I walked them out to the car, you know, and they went to go. And I remember, that's the only time I've ever remembered. And I went like, sorry, one moment. So I'll show my people. And I actually told him that I came and showed them. You know, that's when Lawrence or you came to visit me. We'll show you how. I'm still amused at it. Michael Oropo was with him, Victor or somebody. Japheth, Joseph, and his wife. I didn't know any of them. I only knew this one. I didn't know any of them. I didn't know. So they were introducing themselves to me. I said, oh, you're welcome. I expected, you know, the only person that called me was Lawrence Oye. And he said, oh, sir, I'd like to come and see. And I said, oh, welcome. And I waited. That was 9 something. Then they came by past 11 to 12, 11 o'clock at night, I guess from a program. So they arrive and I opened the door. Oh, welcome. Then I see more people. I'm like, okay, welcome. Sit down. and I remember, okay. I said, oh, and you are. The mic or rock, okay. Oh, okay. Now, if I was given to pictures or anything, I would have said, oh, let's take a picture. Besides, he was about to walk them out, he's still talking, you know, and all that. And I went like, sorry, wait, 1 second, let me. I know there are people that will be excited about this. I'm trying to say that meeting people is nice. You can meet someone. I guess it's a memento to tell people you love. Hey, once I was okay. Those ones are godly people. Some people want to meet anything. Met Michael Jackson. So what? First you met Michael Jackson. I was in a plane once and where's this actor? His name is Segun Arinze. Where is he? He's blind? Oh, he pointed there. Okay. I'm wondering. I saw him point to his eyes. Yes, he has bulging eyes like that. He used to be a popular Nigerian actor. I was in the plane once. This is many years ago. And, he was obviously with someone because he was in the seat in front of me and there was a lady he was talking with. You know, they came in together. After a while, I told him, you can come and sit here. And I got up and now I knew, of course, I could recognize him. Many of you would have wanted 1 second. Don't be me give you a seat. Come on. My greater point is that it's what's important is not what you think or who you think you have met. What's important is what God has done. I think more often in that person's life, but the bigger reason is you should be very excited that you have access to meet God. And many people don't realize it. So if you were with any of those people, you're very glad. Oh, please, could I? Sorry, can I ask you? Oh, can you pray for me? Oh, this. Oh, that. Oh, this, that, that. But none of those things are relevant. Meeting God is what matters. And I'm saying this to say to all of us, if you have access to meet God, I don't think you should take it lightly. If you start fluttering and feeling all, oh my, because you met a human being, the one who said, let there be light, let there be a sun, I want stars to sprinkle the background, give me a moon here, grass, animals, creatures, waters separate from land. This, that, the person who said those things is not someone to be treated lightly or slightly. That's someone you're supposed to give extreme attention because he's greater than anyone or anything you've ever met. I hope this is clear. Yes, you should be very excited that you can meet God. And you can meet Him every day. And you're going to say, well, I haven't met Him. You do. You meet Him in the Spirit. You can meet God in the Spirit. You meet God in your heart. You don't have to meet Him physically. And that's where the problem is. We like physical encounters. But you don't need a physical encounter to be blessed. You don't need a physical encounter to be blessed. What you need is an encounter. Whether you hear a voice, you sense a presence, you don't sense anything, the scriptures say, give your heart to it. One of the reasons people close their eyes while praying, so you not be distracted by what you're seeing. Today I'd like us to look at what the Spirit allows. That point I made means that I don't think if they told you you're going to meet, I remember different times when my vocation was more mundane. And I would travel on work trips, business trips. And a number of the times it was with government officials and, you know, sometimes meeting a minister of the federation or a commissioner or someone like a governor or some head of something or the other. And something in your mind tells you not to be late. You can't conceive being late. You don't spend let's say to and fro flight cost. Taxi cost, hotel cost. You don't spend 200,000 naira to miss a meeting. Your mind cannot conceive getting there and they say, we waited for you. No, rather you get there and you wait. And you wait. And you wait because they tend to be busy people. And you keep waiting. We've gone for meetings. I mean, Abuja is a faraway place. I think it was with the commissioner or the minister for education. And I remember we were in the office about 7:30, 8 p.m. You know, you're waiting to see someone at night. Now we may have gone there. You may have waited for 4 or 5 hours. So what are you going to do? Remember seeing the commissioner in Kaduna State, and I'm sitting there from, I think I went by 8 or 9 in the morning. But I can remember what, I'm hoping I was freed at the time, in the afternoon. Then I came back around 4 p.m. I met him around, when I left it was night, so I left him around 7 or 8 p.m. Well, that's about the time I met him. I was ushered into his office. And that ushering, in fact, they ushered in everybody. The strangest thing. Like 15 to 20 people entered an office. And he sat down inside the office. Then you go up to his table, one after another. So you sit there for 3 hours, 4 hours, waiting to see a human being. He hasn't arrived. You don't say, when he arrives, call me. It doesn't occur to you to do such things. It does not occur to you to come later. What occurs to you is to arrive earlier than you were asked. You factor in traffic. You factor in unforeseen events. You factor in everything. You don't think of food. It's nothing like, no, I needed to eat first. Eh? You don't even want to be. And many times you meet them and what you're hoping for does not happen. What has that to do with anything? You go to the next office. You go for the next meeting. You burn money for the next appointment. You reach out to the next possible client. You keep pushing. Ah, but that last effort, we spent a total of 380,000 naira. And so? So what? You try again. You push again. You don't stop. Oh, we heard there's a possible opening here. Off you go. Pack your bags. Oh, there was this thing coming up and that thing coming up does not arise. You don't discuss what was coming up. You move. There's an opportunity. Ah, this one will cost nearly $1 million. No, this one is outside the country. You pack your bags. You move. To do it, you have to have this document ready. You start creating it. Do we have this? No, this one is not good enough. Let's upgrade it. How much will it cost to print it, to do this? We need a video for this one. They said there won't be time. I have to give a video presentation. Get a cameraman. How much will you charge? 300,000 naira. Oh, God. That costly. I thought it's something like 50,000 naira. No, sir. I'm not that. Okay, do it. What will it take? Come, you interview me. What do I wear? Oh, blah, 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 blah. You do it. You comply. Your walking is 3 a.m. And what has that to do anything? We are traveling tomorrow. You need to finish it. Nobody's asking you that, sir. You know, we are tired now, we have tried. No, it has to be completed. You have to finish. Nobody tells you because you don't talk about it. That's my point. There's nobody saying we have to. There's no discussion. Even if you were told, let's pause, you say, how? I beg. Is it not tomorrow? We have a flight to catch? No, there won't be time. We must do it here now. We've done things, I remember, completing projects and needed to be printed, and you leave and pay money for the rest to be shipped to catch up with you. Goes to the printers, make sure this thing is on the next flight after us. All of that. In fact, we got there and it was sent to another city. No, like what I mean is, it wasn't the city we arrived in. They arrived later, I arrived in another, because we had to go to two cities in Kenya. But I'm just talking about how much effort and stress and attention to detail and commitment we can show for things that are mundane, means physical, earthly. And then they tell you we have an appointment. So in that, okay, so I remember going to the city of Mombasa in Kenya. It's a beach. It's a, you know, it's by the water. Has a beach. White people everywhere in a 5-star hotel we stayed in. Everywhere. You just see, oh, this is where white people go to when they want to holiday. That's everywhere. The most amazing swimming pools, beaches and all that. But all of this, eventually, some of these efforts did not result in what we thought at all. When we met the governor, you know, and did a presentation, all the effort that went into that one meeting for weeks, if not months, for a meeting of 10 minutes, if not less. that did not yield fruit. Eventually, how much money spent, incidents, all that. God knows. Maybe a total, let me say, maybe 3 point something million or 4 went into that whole event. That's what human beings can do to achieve a purpose. So I'm going to ask you, what are you doing to achieve the purpose of meeting God? When you come late to meet God. God, do you know why many people don't meet God? Because you have no appointment. You don't keep, there's zero regard. I'm a small human being. And I know how I feel when I fix an appointment and a person comes late. Then there are people that, I guess a time came, God was like, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't come, I'm not coming. It seems the Bible expects you to wait for the Lord and doesn't expect to wait for you. It seems that's what the scriptures presume, that you will wait for the Lord. It seems the scriptures presume you will wait for the Lord. Why do I think so? Because the scriptures say those who wait on the Lord are the ones that will get something. You find that in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. They will run and not grow weary. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Do you see that? These are the people that will keep running and not grow weary. They waited on the Lord. These are the people that will walk and not get tired. They will not pass out on the way. Their journey will continue. They will make it to the end. Have you heard before that he that endures to the end will be saved? The people that grow weary and faint do not make it to the end. If you know about running, races, you run. You know, if you don't cross the finish line, it's equivalent to not running at all. Are you aware? If you don't cross the finish line, it's equivalent to not starting. Okay? That's the equivalent. You have to keep running. If you faint, you will not get the rewards you wanted at the beginning. You must cross the finish line. Even if you are the last, even if the person before you crossed 1 minute ago, you must stagger and cross the finish line, or your name will not be on the list of people that ran. Understand this, that with God, if you want the strength to run a race and arrive, you will have to keep running. And to keep running and not be disqualified, you must wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord, if you go into that word, it means to be intertwined. Now, how can something that is intertwined, tied together, how can one part go and the other part does not go? Can one part of a twine, literally a rope, twisted together, twine. You know twine? Twisted together, plaited together like that. To wait on the Lord, the root word means to be twisted as one with the Lord, intertwined with the Lord. So if maybe you use the word wait in the sense of waiting on someone, it means you don't go and leave the person. You wait. You wait for the person. You're with the person. You're bound to the person in some way. It's those who are bound to the Lord that will renew their strength. Why? The strength comes from Him. That connection with Him is what imparts strength to you. That connection is what imparts strength. They will rise up with wings like the eagle. They will develop wings. They will lift. How does the eagle mount up with wings? He has very strong wings. But eagles are known not just for flapping. You see many birds, they flap. Eagles are known for soaring. They ride the wind. They are good at sitting on wind. They go up to levels where they're strong wind and they ride on it like a surfer in the sea. They stay afloat. That ability to stay afloat is what can make them stay up there for a long time. But a bird that keeps flapping will get tired at some point and will need to land, will need to stop. So the ability to stay. Do you ever wonder, how come some people seem able to follow God? How come some people seem to be consistent? How come? They are the people who have learned to wait on the Lord, to remain with God, who have learned to not move without God. When you develop the ability to do this, you develop capacity. Long after others had gotten tired and fallen. Long after they've gone, say, I bet you guys, the day you came out to get born again, was it not three of you? Where are the other two? They said, that one has gone back to her old. This one has gone back to his old ways. It's only one of them remaining. Yes. Because someone never learned to wait on the Lord. Never learn to wait. Waiting is an effort you make. What I just described in the stories I told about waiting for high officials and, you know, talking to people and spending money and all those things. All of those things are clear acts of waiting for someone, not moving till they move. And sometimes, from what I've described, waiting in vain. But with the Lord, you cannot wait in vain. There's always benefit for those who wait on the Lord. He says that in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. What's faith here? Yeah? Without your waiting on the Lord in faith, it's impossible to please God. To prove that, you read further. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Whoever comes to Him must believe that He is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those who... So in the times that those trips were successful, it's because you diligently sought. You diligently waited. You diligently endured whatever it took to find Him. Jesus told many parables and said the kingdom of God is like a man who took all he had, sold it to buy a piece of land because of the treasure he found in it. That's the picture of waiting on the Lord. What are you willing to give up for to find God? But if your attitude is, oh, I don't really care. I beg, if they go do, let them do, I beg. Me, I'm not begging anybody. You're not begging God. You will beg. It's a matter of time, you beg. You beg God. Don't worry, just wait. Small. Everybody will beg God. God, I beg. You will. There's no way it won't come out of your mouth. There's nobody that's going to stand in front of God eventually and go, and what, and so, you're big and powerful, so. It won't happen. Then you finish peeing on yourself. And every time you talk like this, people think, ah, no, but when you see God, you should be in the spirit. Who told me? Who told you to be in the spirit? Is that what the Bible says? Revelation chapter 20 does not say to be in the spirit. You'll be in your body. You'll be like this. When you see God. Not when you die. That's not the day of judgment. The day of judgment is down the road. Revelation chapter 20. Give me the verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire. And if anyone was found whose name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay? Anyone whose name was not found was thrown. Now, who are these people? And how were they thrown into this lake of fire? Go back to verse 12. Or 11. Let's see where they came from. Then I saw a great white throne and the one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead. What? These are the dead. Great and small, standing before the throne. And there were open books. One of them was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their deeds, as recorded in the books. Where did this death come from? Look at it. Verse 13. The sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades gave up their dead, and each one was judged according to his deeds. The sea gave up its dead. Death. Thanatos, death, and Hades, often translated hell in King James, gave up their death. You look at Isaiah 26 for context. You see, that's not the first time we're told about the dead being given up. Verse 19 to the end. Your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. Take note. Why will they live? Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of the morning, and the earth will bring forth her dead. Tells you again, this is the dead you saw in Revelation 20. Yeah, these are bodies, these are not spirits. So every picture you have a floating spirit, burn it. You will be complete again. That's why it tells you your dead will live. They were dead, then they will be made alive. There's no judgment happening. The last day, the day of judgment, is not in the sky. The day of judgment is on earth. That's not what the picture said. That's what the scriptures say. You know how you have three wise men? There is not in the Bible. There are three wise men. That's what the pictures say. That's not what the scriptures say. No, now, Abba, I have seen it. No, you have not. You have never seen it. There's nothing you see. There's no need talking. I agree with you on that. There's nothing I will say anymore. Because you said from now till you grow old, you will not find it. Then why did they now say there are three wise men? Because they said they gave him three kinds of gifts. And the number of gifts have nothing to do with how many people gave it. They gave him gold. That's equal to saying they gave him money. Does that mean one person gave him money? They said they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of them have been giving him those three things. Their gifts comprise of three kinds of things. Those are the kinds of gifts you give kings. So all of them may have carried. Now they may have been 25. They may have been 100 wise men. They may have been 2. We know it was not one because they say men. Oh, wow. So, in the same way, there's no place that tells you your judgment will be in spirit form. You'll be floating around. What about the people that died and they said they went to judgment? Yes, they had an experience. They communicated it to you. It's correct. Maybe there's a temporary judgment you get. Or maybe they went into the future. Because time does not work there like here. So they could have gone into the future and seen what would be their fate. The mere fact that they came back to tell you shows you that it's not their fate now. Then they come back and tell you. And they don't come and say, I saw spirits, I saw spirits. No, they tell you, I saw people. But here it is clear that it will be bodies that will arise because it tells you so. This is what is in scripture. It's bodies that will arise. Daniel saw the same thing. Daniel chapter 12. He said that the dead would arise. And he said some will rise up to shame and contempt and some will rise up to light. And light rejoicing, just like it says here, awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. These are the guys that are waking to life. They will sing. There are the others that will not sing when they rise. It's just the way it will be. I think this is when some people will beg. I would rather beg now. You know, when they were worshipping earlier, they talked about mercy. They talked about not despising God's mercy. The song. You are merciful, so merciful in your way. And the singer was saying, don't despise the mercy of God. And kept singing, you are merciful. So mercy. Now, this is the time for mercy. Because a day comes, the scriptures tell you the doors will be shut and it will be time for judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgments, precedes judgment. So mercy comes first. If you despise it, you will meet judgment. Mercy is the guy that meets you first with something. Hey, and waves the white flag of forgiveness. It's okay, it's okay. God, you can go in. It's okay. And say, no, not coming in. The person coming after mercy. It's called judgment. And we'll give it judgment as you deserve. Mercy always goes before judgment. Let me tell you one of the ways you know judgment is coming. Let me tell you. You want to know? If you look at it and you know you have collected too much mercy, even yourself, you know for grief. As it comes to your notice, let me tell you real life experiences. When there's this extra mercy being shown you, extra attention, extra, come now, extra. As you just see that, get ready. Judgment is close. That's why mercy is getting desperate. I'm telling you, scripturally, his name was Josiah. He was an amazing king. He did wonderful things for his God. He wrecked idols and all that, celebrated the feast of the Lord. He loved the Lord. He cleaned up Judah and crossed over into Israel and cleaned it up of idolatry, a territory that was not his own. He had such a passion for God. Immediately after his death, Judah entered. He was the final great opportunity for mercy for Judah. And they couldn't make up their minds properly. Still. So, alright, I tried. Another example, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said it himself. He said, a certain man owned a vineyard and he would send people, send servants. And they would beat them up and kick them out and not give returns on the vineyard. Finally, he said, let me send my son. They will have respect for this one. They will have respect for this one. And the son comes. And when he gets there, they say, this is the one that is even dragging this property with us. This is the heir. Let's kill him and take the property. After that, the master didn't send someone else for them to beat up. No, that was the end. He sends his armies and destroys them. That's how it is. The Lord Jesus came. Estimated 280, 480, 26 BC. All the dates. For all those listening, whatever your date, you know I've touched it. So, 0 AD for most of you. So, fine. I've touched the four major argued texts. I've heard the arguments. Don't drag me in. Whichever date you take. When he was born, he was the son, the owner of the vineyard son. After he died, he told you guys, when he was still here, he said, if only you had known the day of your visitation, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you had known. They killed him just like he had foretold in his parables. After that, not up to 40 years, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed their temple, slaughtered all those guys. He slaughtered all those guys. The Romans. Historically, the year 70 AD, 70, the first time a nation came together again and said, we are Israel, kind of, for real, 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 was the year 1948. 70, 1948 minus 70, that's how long. And even now, they are not completely at peace. And great disaster might yet come upon them, and destruction. Someday, I believe you look at the news and you see Jerusalem shattered, possibly again. At least harmed to a great extent. Why? Because it's prophesied. And because they have not yet turned to their God. My point? If they would wait on their God, if they would trust in Him, if they would look to Him, He would save them. If they won't, they can't be saved. If they would have accepted mercy, I gave you examples of mercy before judgment. Jesus was their last great mercy, in a sense, but He said something. He said, because of this, I will send you apostles, prophets and teachers, and you will kill them. He said you will kill them, which is exactly what happened. He sent them apostles, prophets, and teachers. Peter, Paul, James, John, all those guys. And they did that. They killed them. Almost every single one of them. They crucified, beheaded, or something. And then, you don't read it because John, Jerusalem is wrecked. Only John is still alive after a long time. The prophecies came to pass. He had extended mercy to them enough. This was not a 70-year Babylonian trip. This was a 1,000, many more years, more than a millennia of Gentiles trampling Jerusalem. Didn't the Lord warn them? Now He's showing them mercy again. Most are not listening. Many Jews are getting saved. Many Christians. But this time is not so much the time of the Jews. The time for the Gentiles. The same story that happened with the Jews is happening with the Gentiles. Giving us mercy too. We are doing the similar things that the Jews did. Mercy has come. Jesus is Lord. Give your heart to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Everybody, are you born again? Yes, I'm born again now. The same thing. 1 Corinthians 10 is very clear. It said, these things happen to them as examples for you. That they, you also, it's clear. Go and read 1 Corinthians 10 from verse 1 to 12. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1 to 12. He clearly communicates the same things that happened to them. I'm giving you the same chance. You do the same pieces of stupid they did, the same consequences will come on you. And Christians are doing exactly what he said. What happened, what the Jews used to say. Say, we are the people of God. Nothing can happen to us. Exactly the same thing. We are replaying, in spite of all the warnings in Romans chapter 11, where he said, don't boast against the natural branches. That if I cut them off, I can cut you off. But what's the most popular doctrine right now flying around the body of Christ? Grace. Once you enter, you're covered. The exact things the Jews said. It's amazing the extent of blindness. The exact thing. Like this has happened before. The apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, told us. Really, he said, make sure this does not happen to you. As happened to them. Make sure you don't let, don't do it. Ah, we are the light to the blind. All these Muslims, all these. And that's why as you shout, the more you shout, the less it seems your prayers seem answered. I mean general Christianity. I don't mean individuals. God may answer your personal prayer. But there's this general, no! Christians are the... As Islam takes over your country. Countries all over the earth. England. Name the city. Name the place. These are the domains of everywhere. False religions. America the Great. The darkness creeps in. Many, you don't even hear about it. It's called the post-Christian era. Being swept over by all sorts of darkness and evil. Many are not even pretending anymore. Young people, old people, what's church? I beg. Because the same pride The same thing that happened with the Jews. No, we are the ones who can never. We are the chosen ones. We are. And God is like, while you're disobeying me, you are. I've cut you off. So we act like it's our birthright. Like Esau of old. But you lose it. And that birthright is given to another person. Just like God gave to the Gentiles what the Jews thought was their birthright. He had warned them. He said, be careful, so I don't think the one that were not called my people will now become my people. Those that were not loved will now become the beloved. Be careful. They didn't take, these things were prophesied by Hosea far, far back then. By many other prophets. They didn't understand. Jesus came, final warning, final chance, okay. And displaced them. And gave it to a nation who would obey his decrees. Like he had said he would. I repeat, he has warned Gentiles in the same way. In case you don't know, all over the world, Muslims are getting born again. All over the earth. Large numbers. They are turning to the Lord left, right, and center. While you sit down and criticize them. And talk about how you're better than them. And commit the same sins or worse that they commit. None of that moves God. God is never moved by any of those things. Inherited Christianity. That doesn't mean anything. If you don't repent, the same things that have happened to others will happen to you. The same thing. Let's finish Isaiah 26. Dead bodies will rise, awake and sing, you dwell in the dust of the earth, for you do it like the other morning. The earth will bring forth her dead. Verse 20 says, go, my people, enter your rooms and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves a little while until the wrath has passed. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling. Why are you hiding yourself? Why are you locking yourself in? Because the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Who is he punishing? The inhabitants of the earth. Those who inhabit the earth. This is a worldwide phenomenon. This is international catastrophe. This here. This is not local. This is not a national event. This is the inhabitants of the earth. And they will be punished for their iniquity, their lawlessness, their disagreement with his words. Their refusal to obey the words of God. This will happen. Why? Because everything God says will happen. When he says, let there be light, they will be light. When he says, let it be night, it will be night. The earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer conceal her slain. The earth is going to show all the blood that has been poured on it. Doesn't matter where you hid and did it. Doesn't matter how you shed that blood. Abortion, murder, whatever it was, the earth will expose it. Like the voice of Abel. People go, oh, the voice that speaks better things than the voice of Abel. Yes, during the season of mercy, Hebrews chapter 12, the blood of Jesus, the voice that speaks better things than the voice of Abel that was asking for recompense. But it doesn't tell you that voice of mercy will speak forever. No, the scriptures are clear. It says that there's a season of judgment coming to not conceal her slain. Tells you that there's a season of judgment coming. Give me Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. It tells you that the Spirit of the Lord God is on who? On me. Who is this? Who is this talking? How do we know it's the Lord Jesus? Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord unrolling the scroll. Let me read. If you are writing, write Luke chapter 4 verse 16. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He asked for Isaiah, I don't know, but God is in charge. He had the book of Isaiah given to him, given. I'd like to read something. Maybe they, I don't know, they used to do tumbo. When Isaiah entered his hand, the book of Isaiah ended up in his hand. Unrolling it, how they used to open their scrolls, he found the place where it was written. He went down to that place. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. This is the place in Isaiah. So I'm showing you who it's talking about. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Scriptures are meant to be fulfilled. And Jesus said, "Today is that day." You see this prophecy Isaiah gave hundreds of years ago? Today is fulfilled. It's you, it's us that when we read the Bible most times, you don't understand what you're reading. The Jews understood. They looked at him and said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They understood that Jesus just said that this passage I just read, it was me he was talking about. It, that Spirit of God, he said, is upon me. It's me. It's not a futuristic concept. The Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news. It's me. It's what I say. It is me that he has anointed to open the eyes of the blind. It's me that will set captives free. It's me. It's very plain. That's why the side question, I don't understand. Who is he? It's not Joseph. Is he? Don't be Mary picking. Don't be Mary picking. Mary? Not Mary. Don't be Mary picking with it. Eh? All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you quote to me this, that we've heard you're doing miracles in Capernaum, all of that. When he got to the place where he now said some things, they got up, drove him out of the town, verse 29, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. They went to kill him immediately. "How dare you? We know you, Joe. How can scripture be fulfilled and you're the one fulfilling it? Don't you know people have to come from the sky to fulfill scripture?" That one, I'm saying it for you. Because we always think that the fulfillment of scripture, when it's fulfilled, they are going to write it like this on the wall. "This scripture fulfilled the finger of the Lord," like the Ten Commandments. Boom, 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 boom. Lightning, thunder. Fulfill. The whole earth will hear it. All will know. It's fulfilled truly, for this is the Lord. Scripture is never fulfilled like that. You know how many times scripture has been fulfilled and you walk past it? You stroll through it. You know how many times through history scripture has been fulfilled and people walked right past? God had promised that he was going to send the Son. How many people believe in Jesus on the earth today? How many people? What percentage? Do you know how many people do not believe Jesus is Son of God, Lord, God, all that. Were there not signs? Have they? But it doesn't work like that. Do you know how many times God gives a prophetic word? Even in this small church. And people think that when it comes to pass, let me say something about fulfillment of scripture. To even understand it a little, usually it comes to pass first. And only some people ever believe that that was it. God gives words to people and they hear. And they expect God to come again and tell them, that scripture is going to happen in 2 days, 3 hours, 5 minutes. You want to know the seconds. We think that scripture is not fulfilled like that. Scripture is fulfilled. You know, I was reading a prophetic word someone posted. I think it's on the hall now. And said, they saw and it was chaos, trouble, violence, death all around. And it was like, church, God's lighthouse people came. And they rushed to church. And it's like, you know, I was in here with some people and not aware of what's happening outside. And these people came and the angels lined up all outside. And when they come, they say, where's your passbook? And people bring out their old passbook and say, no, this is not the passbook. And they were not allowed it, basically. Or at least didn't say much on that. Because that's not the passbook anymore. It's like the passbooks have been changed and they didn't know. They didn't get the new passbook. It was connected to a change in season. That was specifically. The season had changed and they didn't know. So the people inside had no idea what was happening. They were, in other words, safe, protected, calm. You know, someone else saw an ark. But these other ones, time had passed them by. Can these things happen? This is usually how it happens. Take it for granted, take it for granted, take it for granted, take it for granted. It doesn't exist anymore. Door is shut in your face. Noah! Noah, listen to me. I'm the chief of this place. I say, open this door. Please. After I say, Noah, now. Now, before, bring me an axe. Coming flood. But the summary would be that there's a flood coming and you better be built. That ark had 3 levels. 1, 2, 3. 3 floors. Spirit, soul, body. Be blameless, spirit, soul, body. You better be laid out. You better be constructed according to measurement. God gave specifics on how it was to be done. That's what the preaching of the word does. It brings to you the teaching of doctrine. As you obey, each piece is put in place and it's constructed. None of you here would go to do anything. Build a computer, set up, whatever. You're putting up computer, software, coding. Whatever it is you are doing, you follow the rules. The only thing people try to do without following rules is Christianity. You think you do anything you like and you end up... Why should it? Nothing works like that. When you look for admission, you followed rules. You didn't go, please, for me. Please. Me, I don't normally like this. Me, I don't normally like it like this. So, okay. So take me as I am. There's nothing like that. When the day comes, the Lord looks at you, yes. The passbook. The examination card. School fees. Course. What do you call it? Course form. Yes. Does that happen to people? Do they finish school and they are stuck? You don't know. You never go to school. Some will never finish. I know. I'm a pastor of many students. And I wonder sometimes, why is this person still around? What happened? They say they have an issue with their course form. They can't find their course form. I don't understand. I attended all the classes. I did all the things. Yes, but they say they don't see it. Because they are not computerized as they should be, which is very embarrassing. This, you know, system. But you did it all. You wrote it. You paid your fees. You did everything. They still stress you, demanding that you should show them. And then there are tons of people You didn't even do the things.
Then you want to walk up to Jesus and say, and now, you know how far now.
It's not, this one they did, and they're asking for written evidence. What about you that you didn't even do it? You think you can keep from doing, you can do what you like.
And no, God is merciful. And I teach you non-stop. The mercy of God is shown in time. The number one way God shows mercy is by giving you time to repent. Revelation chapter 2. Church in Thyatira. That woman, Jezebel, I gave her time to repent.
When your time runs out like this, bah!
It's over. The Bible calls it a cup. When it fills up, like it overflows, it's over. That day, you know how it works? You have no clue. It doesn't work the way you think. You know where I saw that, those revelations this morning. You know, I keep thinking things are closer than expected. I think it's close. Have we had word for years? Yes. Have we had warnings for years? Yes. What's going to happen? I don't know. But I think Wahala is coming. I think chaos. I think violence. I think trouble is about to bloom. And you know, like I've said for many years, you come and say, can we hold church meeting? I think we need to pray. I'll make sure that there's no prayer. I'll make sure they lock this door. I don't mean spiritually, I mean physically. This door will be locked. At least for our church members. Maybe I'll allow non-church members. You? Have you come here before? Do you hear where I used to preach? Go back. In fact, I won't even come. Let me not deceive you. That's the day I'll start eating snail again. I said, pine snail fry. Let's eat a shewu. I'll lie down. Carry pillows and put my leg on top. When you call, I'll send you a selfie. Laugh, oh, laugh. But you better go and cry later.
I'm thinking we should pray. I don't think we should. We've been praying for months, for years. We've had prayer meetings that lasted for 150 days. Where were you? Where were you? We prayed.
I'm not saying we prayed enough, but we've tried.
You were not there.
Just like in that vision, they said we were inside. Is that we didn't even know what was happening outside. You know how many words we've heard about dead bodies lying, just slaughter, just shooting.
I say some people, as you call, in fact, I won't even answer.
By the time you see three people calling at the same time, you know there's trouble. I'll do that thing I've never done before. Hello, this is Ita. If you can't reach this number, send a text message. I'll put a voice recorded response. So you'll be getting messages. Hello, this is Ita. If you're trying to reach me and you're a church member, talk to your shepherd. If you are trying to reach me and you're a Christian who is not my member, talk to your pastor. If you are trying to reach me and have spoken to your shepherd and they said you should reach me, tell them not to do that again. Finally, if you are trying to reach me about a prayer meeting because of the present troubles, talk to your God. Thank you and have a great day. If you don't see you on this side, see you in heaven.